It's Election Day in Canada, and that's a good time to reinstate our question of the day. At least one thing is already clear. It's all about a pack of white men who became candidates through the mysteries of their political party's internal dynamics. But not so in Chile, which just elected its first woman president. So here's the question. Was Chile in the coalition of the willing that invaded Iraq in April 2003? Do you remember that? Stay tuned and find out the answer. When Michelle Bachelet's victory was confirmed, her supporters poured onto the streets and plazas all over Chile to celebrate. Freelance journalist Justin Vogler reports, improvised motor cavalcades formed with flags flowing from car windows and horns blasting. Thousands of women donned presidential ribbons to mark their collective victory. From an improvised stage in Santiago's wide central avenue, the president-elect addressed a joyous crowd. "Who would have thought it," she roared, "who would have thought it 20, 10, 5 years ago that Chile would elect a woman president?" Choking back tears, Bachelet went on to promise a new style of politics. "More consensus-oriented, more participative," she said. "I've been the citizens' candidate, and I will be the citizens' president." Her right-wing opponents, the Alianza Coalition, couldn't agree on one candidate, so they ran two, one from each of the parties in their coalition. Joaquin Lavín was an Alianza candidate from the Independent Democratic Union, a right-wing party created as Pinochet's dictatorship was ending in order to represent the interests of the general's most hardline supporters. Lavín himself, an economist, is close to the conservative Catholic sect Opus Dei. Sebastián Piñera, a millionaire businessman, represented the National Renewal, a party also born under the military regime, but seeking the center-right vote. Its more moderate position is characterized by analysts as the civilized right. For 16 years, Chilean politics has been divided between those who voted on different sides in the 1989 plebiscite called by General Pinochet to endorse and extend his rule. Unlike his conservative cohorts and past right-wing candidates, Piñera voted against Pinochet in 1989. The emergence of a democratic post-Pinochet Chilean right is the culmination of a long process that has progressively seen Pinochet discredited and sidelined. In 1997, when he retired as Army Commander-in-Chief and awarded himself the position of life senator, Pinochet was still a pivotal figure in Chilean politics. Isabel Allende, a socialist congresswoman, daughter of Salvador Allende, and cousin of the author with the same name, says that two events outside Chile decimated the 90-year-old ex-dictator's public image and left his lawyers fighting off numerous lawsuits. The first was Pinochet's 500-day detention in London in 1998-2000. Second was the discovery of multi-million-dollar bank accounts in his name in the United States. Allende says, quote, "There are people who justified the human rights abuses, saying it was necessary, but robbery is a different matter," she says. In the parliament, you see long-term Pinochet supporters feeling very uncomfortable. They can't justify it any longer. End quote. President-elect Michelle Bachelet once described herself as incarnating, quote, "all the capital sins, socialist, my father's daughter, divorced, and an agnostic," end quote. She is the daughter of an archaeologist and an Air Force general. On the 11th of September, 1973, Bachelet was a third-year medical student and member of the Socialist Party during Allende's Popular Unity Democratic Socialist Government. She personally witnessed the bombing of the presidential palace during the U.S.-backed coup d'état that brought Pinochet to power. Her father, Alberto, an Allende loyalist in charge of the government's national food distribution program, was arrested the next day and charged with treason. 4 months of brutal torture triggered his fatal heart attack while in custody. In 1975, Michelle and her mother were detained at the notorious Villa Grimaldi torture center for 3 weeks before being exiled, going to Australia and then to East Germany. Michelle returned to Chile in 1979 as a pediatrician. 3 years later, she was refused a job in the public health system because of political considerations, which led her to work with NGOs helping the children of victims of military repression. In the 1990s, after Chile had returned to democracy and Pinochet's influence had declined, the army sought to reestablish its legitimacy by inviting the Socialist Party to send their experts on military affairs to join senior officers in taking the annual course at the National Academy of Strategic Studies. Bachelet took up the offer and surprised everyone by graduating at the top of her class, thus qualifying for a postgraduate scholarship at the Inter-American Defense College in Washington, D.C. When Bachelet's socialist colleague, Ricardo Lagos, won the presidency in January 2000, he appointed her health minister in charge of the public health system that had once blacklisted her. Her brief was to eliminate waiting lists within 3 months and to restore confidence in a national health service that had been seriously undermined by privatization. Her success guaranteed her promotion, but there was a further surprise when President Lagos appointed her defense minister in 2002. Bachelet was the first woman in Latin America and one of very few in the world to hold that portfolio. There was some expectation that the armed forces would show reluctance to serve under a woman, and moreover one who had seen her parents tortured by the military and suffered the same fate herself. But a new high command, a new generation of senior officers, purged of human rights violators, welcomed her appointment as part of a reconciliation with the families of officers killed by the Pinochet regime. On the other side of Chile's historic divide, many in the armed forces have a high regard for a woman, as one middle-ranking officer told Vogler, quote, speaks our language and understands our codes, end quote. Bachelet has become a symbol of national reconciliation. Her theme of forgive but not forget was seen by many Chileans as helping healing old wounds. More than one analyst believes that her success in the election comes largely from her success in the defense post. During the election, she promised equal representation of men and women in her cabinet. She has also pledged to replace Chile's first two past the post electoral system that Pinochet bestowed on Chile's infant democracy with a system of proportional representation. This is widely regarded as the last step in the restoration of Chile's democracy. During her victory speech, the president-elect repeated her promises to improve public education, health, and pensions. She inherits a prosperous economy. Her colleague Lagos adopted a pro-business stance and signed free trade agreements with the United States, the European Union, and several Asian economies, and followed International Monetary Fund mandates on government spending and debt reduction. As a result, Concertación's critics on the left say that they are lacking in progressive credentials. Lax labor laws and a large informal labor market have caused financial angst among many Chilean homes. Few remember today that Chile was a member of the Security Council during the time of the Iraq invasion and favored giving weapons inspectors more time. It was a particularly sensitive period because Santiago was negotiating a free trade agreement with Washington. Some members of Lagos's Concertación party wanted to support a new U.S. resolution on Iraq in order just to secure their free trade agreement. But Chile and Mexico remained officially undecided. In the end, France threatened to veto the resolution, and the U.S. and Britain decided that they didn't need it. Chile did not join the so-called coalition of the willing. Venezuela's Chavez said on Sunday he admired Bachelet. "I am a very good friend of Mrs. Bachelet. She is a hero," he said. Marta Lagos, director of Mori Chile, sees a continent-wide pattern in Bachelet's election. Those long excluded from politics for reasons of class, race, or gender are finally storming the governmental strongholds. Brazil's Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva was a metal worker. The dark-skinned Venezuelan leader Hugo Chavez, the son of a village schoolteacher. The president-elect of Bolivia, Evo Morales, will be the first indigenous politician to reach the summit of power in the hemisphere since Mexico's Benito Juarez in 1858. Unlike Lagos, who began his presidency at the end of the Asian financial crisis with a minority in both legislative houses, Bachelet begins with a Concertación majority in both houses and growing government coffers helped by the current high price of copper, Chile's main export. Congresswoman Allende told Vogler, quote, "This was the first time in Chile that a presidential candidate has emerged by popular demand and not through negotiations within the political parties," end quote. Maybe someday Canadians will elect a prime minister by popular demand. That's it for this Monday. This feature draws on material from Open Democracy reports by Justin Vogler and Roberto Esplindola, Resource Center of the Americas, Counterpunch, the OECD Economics Department, and the International Herald Tribune. If you'd like to suggest a story or comment about anything you hear on World Report, email Earthling, that's EARTHLING, at netidea.com. Put World Report in the subject line to make sure I don't mistake your message for spam. I'm Jim Terrell at Kootenai Co-op Radio. Thanks for listening.